This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You said sometimes just going out there and playing football. How have you learned that as you've gone about your NFL career? Start that even though it's the most complicated game at the highest level, that hey, sometimes it comes down to simply playing football.
Yeah, don't lose it. I think, you know, the big thing about, you know, football is that football is easy and people are complicated. You know, people try to complicate it, and I think the best thing to do at the end of the day is simplify it and try to make it simple and be on the same page. I think we're learning that and kind of feeling our way through that. So there's probably some things that I've done, you know, in this season that is probably out of the ordinary, or maybe, you know, I'm not trying to think this guy may do something that end up being a negative play, but I think down the road it's going to end up leading to, you know, some bigger plays for us.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I know we've been accused, Keefe, of being Drake May cheerleaders. I don't know why.
Yeah, a little bit.
I did love that answer.
Setting off confetti in the studio.
That one time.
For his first stop. I don't know why we would be accused of being cheerleaders for Drake May.
But that might be my favorite thing that he said.
I love it because one of my big pet peeves, what really grinds my gears, is in any sport when you have the people that talk down to other people that also like the sport, that it's way too complicated. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't really understand the coverages on defense. It's like, yeah, I do. That guy stands there. That guy stands over there. Oh, it's man-to-man. Oh, it's zone. Like, it's really not that difficult. And certain people like to overcomplicate it. And so if the quarterback of the team, the rookie quarterback, which they say is like one of the most difficult things to do, he's like, yeah, football's not that complicated. But people want to make it seem like it's super complicated. So just kind of simplify it. I hate that, like, talking down thing. It's one of the reasons why somebody like Mike Lombardi is just not my cup of tea. Like, he literally has a book called, like, Football Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like, football is like this
thing. It's quantum physics.
Yeah, nobody can understand football. Right. It's like, yeah, actually, most people can.
Yeah.
Give him a minute. Give him a minute to take a look at it, and they can probably figure it out. So I love that answer from him.
Football is easy. People are complicated.
Yeah.
Great answer. It's a 22-year-old kid. That's a great answer.
That is.
Like that, I love that from Drake May. I hated something I heard from Alex Van Pelt today. You wanna get to that? You wanna take some of these Bruins phone calls and ease our way into it?
Let's hit some Bruins guys. Let's hit some Bruins guys. People want to talk bees. They got a big the Joe Sacco era begins tonight with Jones's guy Corpusalo in net. So let's hear from the Bruins people.
Let's get into that. Joe's in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Wow.
Good start, Joe.
Not the best start for us.
Joe, hello.
Are you calling a walkie?
Joe? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
sorry about that.
That's all right.
I had you on speaker.
Right.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fine.
Go ahead.
I just I wanted to get into Sweeney here. If we go all the way back to 2015 where he started drafting, he had three picks, 13, 14, and 15.
Uh-huh.
He took Jake DeBrus.
We know.
Yeah.
No, he took Zboril. Took Zboril first, and then he took DeBrus.
Yeah, there were good. There were a bunch of all-stars after him, too, yeah.
Look at Barzal and Aho and all these guys taken after, and then he hasn't done anything with the draft since 2015.
Okay.
Of all the things to talk today about Don Sweeney, we're going back to the
I didn't
Zach
like that
submission
draft.
He screwed that one up.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I didn't like that draft.
Who'd they get the next year? McAvoy and Frederick? Okay.
Yeah. Ron's
he also drafted Swayman, who I know right now stinks, but he at one point was good.
Ron's on the Cape. Hello, Ron.
Tough act
hey
to follow.
Hey, guys. How
Ron.
You doing?
Yep, good.
Well, I'll tell you, my opinion, this all points to Sweeney for a couple of reasons. If you look at the Swayman situation, they knew 2 years ago that that was their goalie of the future. And they put him through arbitration. There was already bad blood. What did they expect was going to happen when he held all the cards in his hand? I mean, he took them to task this time around. They knew they were going to sign him, and they just strung it out too long.
Okay, that I agree with.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
I was always on Swayman's side on that one. Swayman took them to arbitration because they didn't give him the bridge contract they gave. Like, I've heard this in reverse. It's so weird. People are like, oh, well, maybe McAvoy and Pastrnak are mad with Swayman because they took bridge contracts and Swayman wound up getting paid. He had to go to arbitration. They didn't offer him a bridge contract. Mm-hmm. He had to go to arbitration. And he's still salty about that. Yeah, you can call him a big baby about it, but like, no. I don't think those are the same. Where Pastrnak and McAvoy are like, we waited for our big, fat, giant deals, and he just got his. No. He had to go to arbitration to get paid and split time in the meantime, by the way, outplay the other guy every year, wait until the playoffs for Ullmark to poop his pants and then replace him on the ice every single year. I get that from Swayman. Swayman's playing like garbage right now. But I understand Swayman not trusting the team and being frustrated with the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away that the locker room isn't on his side, which speaks to one of two things. Either the dressing room, their priorities are way out of whack, and it might be. Like, I don't know that there's a good vibe in that locker room. Or Swayman's just a giant, colossal a-hole, and they can't get on board with him. It's one of those two things. Right. It might be the second thing.
No, it could be. But the Sweeney criticism is 100% fair, because how you couldn't have read the room that it wasn't going to be an easy negotiation after all of that, and then you traded Ullmark, and you're like,
Scoops Keefe was trying to warn him the whole time. If Big Swayne was listening to Scoops Keefe,
they want some money.
You would have known that was going to be a rough negotiation.
But it was weird. Like, they gave up all their leverage, and they just like assumed it was going to be an easy deal. And I have no idea why they assumed that. Like, he was different. His agent, same agent as Torrey Krug, right? Like, what, that guy didn't sign again here. Like, they had to get rid of him.
Yeah, you should know. Yeah. You should know the track record there. Now, I will applaud myself for knowing the track record of Tony in Springfield. Hello, Tony.
Hey, long time no talk.
Tony,
this is Big Head Tony.
I was going to say, Tony, we were talking about this off here. Is that offensive? Can we call? Are you having flashbacks to your boss?
I'm saved in my current boss, who didn't make the original joke. I'm saved in my current boss's phone as Big Head. Yes, I'm the head honcho. Yep.
Well, I think it's fair. As somebody who also has a big head, Tony,
head honcho.
I think I can call you that. So yeah. Big Head Tony.
Tony,
call
I'm
cool with that.
Big Head Tony. I don't know if you watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEIR on YouTube. YouTube, you can subscribe to WEI there. But Keefe is letting his forehead breathe here today. There's no hat today.
Yep. Nope.
Maybe in honor of you.
Turtle wax that bitch up.
Can do.
All right. So I called in because I wanted to compare a few things, but one quick point. I really appreciate Keith's point as far as Sid Swayman. He did well when he played half the time or whatever before. So Lord knows Montgomery already tried every lineup under the sun.
Right.
So, yeah, shake it up. How else can you shake it up other than trading people? But the reason I called in is because I was born in Massachusetts, Western Mass. Always diehard Celtics. That's my team. Love the Sox. Love the Bruins. I have like this birth defect where I'm a Dolphins fan. Okay. It's horrible.
In addition to the giant head. Yeah, right.
You must have been a Sheldon Williams fan.
Those are my two birth defects. Yeah. But my point being is, I compare these stars or the coach with the players as being like teenagers, and you have your kid's great for a couple of years, and then they mess up. And so you're hard on them, and then, like one of you said, it was like the coach was pushing them, and he just like ignored them or whatever. You're grounded. You messed up, and he's trying to tell this guy this, but you can't get rid of the $100 million player. You can't get rid of the $20 million player. So they get rid of the coaches. But again, as a Dolphins fan, it's not McDaniels. These players aren't doing what they got to do, and it's not Montgomery. It's the players that are underachieving.
Well, I agree, but there's only so much. You can't trade the whole team, so there's only so much you can do when the players are underachieving. You got to fire the coach. I got to be honest, I lost a little bit of his point because I was mesmerized.
Well, they're zooming in on my giant head.
I was mesmerized a bit by the work of Jonathan on twitch.tv zooming in.
Turtle wax that bitch up.
Ah, man, Big Head Tony.
Big Head Tony working blue. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Big Head's one of our regular callers, though.
Yeah, well, we need to identify him, like, in the call screen, because I lost track of who he was yesterday. He's like, long time no talk. I had no idea who he was.
Yeah, no, now
he's got all those good one-liners. Turns out his boss is new boss, not even the old boss who used to make fun of his giant head.
The mean old boss. The nice boss calls him Big Head.
His nice boss calls him Big Head or Head Honcho.
Head Honcho.
So he had a point about the Dolphins. I honestly lost it.
Relax that bitch up.
He's not blaming McDaniel. Yeah. He's saying that's the players that's that fine. Have been really bad.
That's fine. McDaniel is benching veterans in Miami. It sounds a little bit like Jim Montgomery. We were discussing that earlier today. A couple of texts here real quick. Keith, 37937, reacting to Drake May.
Yeah.
That answer gave Jones a May-rection.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
Well, I don't want to say it's not. I'm working on it.
It's not happening. It's down
not,
there.
It's not moving around.
Great. Great news for us.
Yeah, I don't need Dale anymore.
Eric Shun.
Apologies to my good friends at Northeast Mental.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Also, the text line, I got a little heavier hearing that soundbite from May. Keith knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We work bluer on the Dork podcast. That definitely is a Dork podcast listener.
A little heavier.
Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole thing. I honestly don't think I can get into on the radio. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about this?
Listen to the podcast. It's a great podcast.
Here's something that I would say Alex Van Pelt probably didn't want to bring up in his press conference today.
Yeah, this caught me off guard.
Well, so Mego alerted us to this. I was unaware of this exchange. I'd seen some of the tweets about how Alex Van Pelt wanted to get Marcus Jones in on offense and blah, blah, blah. And Marcus,
yeah, you saw him. A nice little run.
Marcus Jones had texted him. My interpretation was, oh, okay. Marcus Jones just shot him a text and was like, hey, like I'm ready to work in for a couple of plays. And he listened to his player. I just thought it was as simple as that. I'm reading from Mego now on Twitter. Alex Van Pelt says Marcus Jones texted him about getting in on offense. Okay, fine. So good. Okay, so the player reached out. Those are the other tweets that I had seen.
He's like, it's been half a season. Like, yeah. Where am I at?
He wasn't sure which Marcus Jones that was until another coach on the team told him that it was indeed the quarterback cornerback on the New England Patriots.
How many Marcus Joneses do you know?
Quote.
And if you, sorry, go ahead.
There was a Marcus Jones who came through Green Bay for a cup of coffee, and I'm thinking, why is he trying to get a hold of me? That was the first that had come to my attention, Alex Van Pelt said. That Marcus Jones had played offensive plays.
Sell your stock on AVP. Get rid of it. We were talking this guy up. We're very high on him. He doesn't.
Hang on. Is that his fault? Is that Alex Van Pelt's fault he doesn't know that? Or is that all the coaches who were here? I thought Doug Kide made a good point on Twitter.
I blame everybody.
Doug Kide says Van Pelt seemed to be unaware Marcus Jones had played on offense before.
That's insane.
Jerod Mayo, DeMarcus Covington, Mike Pellegrino, even Brian Belichick obviously knew. They were all on staff then. He said even Tyler Hughes, the wide receiver coach, was on staff in 2022. No, so I don't really know who to blame for that. But
everybody. It's a letdown across the board.
Your offensive coordinator didn't know he played offense?
I think Mayo is one guy. Elliot Wolf is a guy. Elliot Wolf deserves a lot of blame. Because the receiver coach is probably thinking, well, we have seven receivers. Why are we adding an eighth to the mix? He's probably like, why are we doing that? Like, you built the roster. You gave us more receivers than any team in the league. And the best one might be a cornerback punt returner. But Alex Van Pelt does deserve some of the blame for this. Marcus Jones had a couple of like highlight reel offensive plays just 2 years ago. So last year, Marcus Jones didn't play on offense because he only played two games all year, right? So it was a lost season for Marcus Jones last year. His rookie year, where he was an all-pro punt returner, he got in on offense a few times and made some great plays, right? He had like a big monster play in one of the games.
He had a long touchdown on offense against Buffalo, I think it was.
So Mayo was on the staff, Elliot Wolf, Covington, like all these guys. How do you not have that conversation at any point? And also, I do blame Alex Van Pelt. You weren't there. But don't you want to know your entire personnel? Don't you want to know everything? And weren't you watching film of this team from a couple of years ago at any point or no? I mean, I know you have new quarterbacks, but you have some of the same carryover players. You don't
Go back and watch some cut-ups from Kendrick Bourne when he was good in 20. No, he didn't play a lot in 2022. Is that 2021? He played a lot, but whatever. Yeah, go back and watch.
21, he was good. Then he was in the Patricia
You're
Doghouse,
the offensive
so
coordinator. Yeah. You should be watching every offensive snap of your personnel. From the last few years, not just a year ago. You're right about this. So back to 2022.
And so even 2022.
If you're not seeking out Marcus Jones, you're looking for plays from Hunter Henry or you're looking for plays from Kendrick Bourne. You should be like, wait a minute. Who is this guy on the field? Who is that guy?
And he didn't do that. So
2022,
right.
real quick.
That's on Van Pelt, but
Mayo.
Some people should have let him know and been like, oh, by the way,
yeah.
If you're in, just in case you're interested, we used to use this guy on offense.
I think it's insane. I also think it's insane, especially in the first 5 weeks when you were starting Jacoby Brissett and you had no weapons at all, nobody that could do anything, and you're running end-arounds to Jalen Polk. Why not run an end-around to Marcus Jones and
see what happens? Great question.
The Patriots also played the Browns in 2022, so you think he would have been aware that he was on the team.
Oh, no. Yeah, they did.
They played.
Was that one of the Zappy games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was right after the Lions. Yeah.
Right.
So on that
team.
Oh,
my God, even worse.
On that team, you had Ramondre Stevenson. You would think you'd want to maybe take a peek at that. He had a 1,000-yard year. Maybe you'd watch some of it. Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton, and Hunter Henry were all on the team that year. So maybe give it a sneak peek.
Van Pelt was on the other sideline.
He was there
in 2022. Did they use him in that game?
Not on offense, no.
Okay. Maybe a touch absolved at least on that point.
All right, yeah, never mind.
But not overall. So, well, Keith, let me give you the good news. Look, it's talk radio. Sometimes we tend to skew a little negative. Let me give you the good news. There's been one game since Alex Van Pelt knew that Marcus Jones could play offense, and he played offense in that game.
He did one for one.
Batting two whole offensive snaps, he even touched the ball once.
Offensive play in 2022. Why wouldn't they show that? That would be on like some sort of hot sizzle reel that they could look at.
Look, he's known for 1 week. Marcus Jones on the New England Patriots texts the offensive. He has to ask. He has to ask and text the offensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator isn't even like, let me get you on the field. He's like, who is this? Who dis? New phone, who dis?
They have to ask him for a lot of things.
Well, what kind of instinct is that?
Christ.
I said
earlier today that it was a good week for DeMarcus Covington. No. Good week for Alex Van Pelt.
Great week.
We were off by a week.
No, but honestly, like, what poor instincts is that? If you get a call from somebody or a text that says, hey, I want to play on offense, and you're like, you're not even on the team.
Yeah.
Of course he's on the team. What lunatic would text you that if he wasn't even on the team?
I got to read Mego's tweet again. That was also a corner. It wasn't like it was a wide receiver.
I don't know how many Marcus Joneses.
Oh, he said there was a Marcus Jones who came through Green Bay. It did not say corner. Right. I take that back.
How many years ago was that? What are you talking about? Why would he possibly be that guy? He came through Green Bay for a couple of times. So he thought it was that guy? So he's aware of a random Marcus Jones from like 5 years ago, but he's not aware of the Marcus Jones that's currently on his team.
Correct.
And when they.
It's what it sounds like, yes.
Marcus Jones. I assume Van Pelt has seen this year because he has literally set them up for multiple touchdowns with his punt returns.
Yep. Oh, hang on. It must be the Marcus Jones from 96 to 2001. That can't be right.
That guy doesn't count.
No, that's not him.
But wouldn't you also...
There's a Marcus Jones on the coaching staff now, but it's this year.
If you're Alex Van Pelt, and your offense is kind of what it is, especially before Drake May enters, and you notice you have an all-pro punt returner, even if you were unaware of his few plays on offense back in the 2022 season, wouldn't you maybe inquire? Like, look, we have a guy that makes everybody miss and is just electric with the ball. Do you think we could use him?
He's the
best punt returner in the NFL. So you're like, nope, can't use him over here. Like, you should have thought of that, and you should have known that. And Mayo should have said something. Covington should have said, everybody should have said something. Elliot Wolf maybe is the most to blame. In all of this, you're setting up your roster.
I'm looking up Marcus Jones. There was a Marcus Jones who played on the Green Bay Packers, but how long ago was this?
So I can't tell. It says he was born in '96, though, so it must have been recent.
Wait.
So I found one that was spelled differently and also was a defensive player, Marcus with a K, and also played linebacker. That's the one I found.
Well, when we talk to Van Pelt in a month, we can ask him. That's who I blame. Wolfpack.
I blame Mayo. I mean, if Van Pelt deserves blame, I blame Mayo. I'm the coach here. Like, oh, by the way, just so you, I know you're new here and we never met each other before and I didn't even pick you as my offensive coordinator, but like, oh, by the way, we have a guy who plays defense and is electric on special teams. You can use him on offense. Oh, by the way, I'm the head coach. That's who I blame.
I mean, Mayo definitely deserves a lot of blame. But I think Wolf too, because like Wolf,
I don't,
probably talks to both sides, like both coordinators, but like, all right, here's who we have, and like, here's, you know, I'm sure Wolf has a certain idea on how guys are going to be used, but then you got to trust the coaches to sort of put them in the right spots. But like, if you're getting a player, you're like, this is what I want you to do. If you're talking to Alex Van Pelt before the year, how do you not mention, oh, we also have this guy who's pretty good if you have a spot for him?
What'd you say, Nick?
So DeMarcus Covington apparently was asked about Marcus Jones.
He said
with
who?
With a C, not a K.
He said which one?
He's people like, talk about Travis Hunter, .. That's Marcus. He did that in college, too.
He did it in college, too.
He did. No, he was. I mean, Covington was here. He knew about it. He was on the staff in 2022. He didn't bother to mention that to the offensive coordinator.
Did Van Pelt take a sniff at that, like, in the draft process or anything?
Apparently
he
not.
He did do that in college. He was. Yeah. I remember when they got him, and you're like, oh, this guy does a little bit of everything. I thought he was going to be a slot receiver.
That's an unbelievable comment. I mean, actually, no. It's totally believable.
The 2024 New England Patriots.
The fact that it's so horrifyingly believable, it really does sum up this team. So, wow, what a news day. And a hat tip to Mego, because I would not have sought out the full extent of those comments without her alerting us to it.
Yeah, that's
the coaches.
Frustrating.
Maybe don't even talk to each other.
No.
And on top of that, your offensive coordinator had no clue that Marcus Jones could play offense. So hat tip to Mego on that. We
How
also
about Marcus Jones waiting around, wondering when he's going to play offense, and then he finally, halfway through the season, goes,
yeah, you know
I'm
what?
I'm going to text the coach.
You know what? Are we most angry at Marcus Jones? Maybe text him week one, dude.
I'm not mad.
Maybe text him the preseason
he
there, guy.
He should demand a trade.
He should look around and be like, look at this receiver room. Maybe text a little earlier,
I'm
guy.
I'm number one.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm kind of out there on the field quite a bit, but I should also play offense.
Did you guys see the mic'd up clip of Marcus Jones in, and there's defensive players yelling that 25 is on the field? So obviously, they were prepared. The Rams defense was prepared for Marcus
Jones. Oh, McVay knows he plays offense, nobody on the Patriots staff knows that he plays offense.
Well, apparently nobody on the Cleveland staff either for when Bell was there a few years ago.
So he played offense.
30 of the teams, I'd say, confidently knew he was an offensive player.
He played on offense in the 2022 season against Buffalo, which is where he had the touchdown, Arizona, and Cincinnati. So those teams for sure would know, but they did play Cleveland earlier in the year, but he only returned kicks and punts.
Text line says, where did it go? Confessing to not knowing which Marcus Jones is worse than not knowing he played off. Or, I'm sorry, other way around. Confessing you didn't know he was on offense is worse than confessing that you didn't know which one it was. Embarrassing.
I don't know, Alex. Maybe the guy on your team. Maybe the guy that
is this the guy who came through Green Bay for a cup of coffee? Like, your memory's so good, you remember that guy, but you don't know the guy on your own team?
Jesus.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, add this to the long list. At the end of the year, when we like, how did this season go? Like, add this. This sums it up perfectly.
All right, we've been saying arrow up on Alex Van Pelt. Where's the arrow now?
Down.
Yeah, it's down.
Down.
Yeah.
The whole
That's an odd question.
You know what? No, you know what AVP'd most...
of which Marcus Jones it was.
Yeah, that's dude, honest to God. I'm the most mad at myself.
Keith was actually quite.
This is for real.
Keith was quite upset with himself off the air when we found out about
nobody else would believe this, but you guys are all witness to Thursday after the show, and we're like, hey, we have Van Pelt on tomorrow. And I swear to God,
I think we talked through it on the air.
Oh, there we did.
I think we talked through it on the air before
Marcus
the show.
Jones, yes. And like, why isn't Marcus Jones playing offense? Oh, my God. Then we didn't ask him because we're idiots. But not as bad as the guys over there.
Right, we thought about it and forgot. He never knew.
Now he's gonna like make up for it. He's gonna play like 30 snaps on offense.
He's gonna play so they're gonna get him hurt. Now they're gonna get him hurt. 617-779-7937. Nice team you got there, New England. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to the Red Sox in a moment. What a news day today. Bruins going with Korpisalo in net over Jeremy Swayman. What does that say about Swayman standing within the locker room and with his teammates? New sheriff in town? No, not Sheriff Shane Knighty.
No, sadly.
Still doing
games with the Golden Knights, I think.
Yes.
Isn't he on the broadcast
that sounds
there?
Right. Him and Ghosh, so. Right?
I think it is.
That's Sheriff Joe Sacco.
That's right.
Is who it is. So a strong message there. I don't love it. Keith's a fan of it. You can
like
jump
it.
In on that. 617-779-7937. And then these comments from Alex Van Pelt, which are just wild. Marcus too long, didn't read. Marcus Jones, Patriots cornerback. Patriots punt returner, has played on offense in the past. Patriots fans all know that.
2 years ago, he might have been their best offensive player.
May have been the biggest
like five
weapon
touches,
they had
but
on
he was
offense.
He was electric.
He had to reach out, text the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, to play on offense. Alex Van Pelt's first response was, who is this? Which Marcus Jones is this?
I know a lot of Marcus Joneses.
His second reaction was then to get Marcus Jones out there on the field because he never knew that Marcus Jones played offense.
Didn't know that.
In the past.
So it's bad across the board. Like, how he doesn't know is bad on him, but how nobody told him. Plenty of coaches were on the staff in 2022, including the head coach who saw it firsthand.
No, Kai detailed them all. It was the wide receiver coach was on staff. He wasn't in his current role. But Gerard Mayo, DeMarcus Covington, Mike Pellegrino, Brian Belichick were all on staff.
I also think it does speak a little bit to the lack of creativity by Van Pelt, because if you see him returning punts, right? Like, so let's say you know nothing. You show up completely ignorant to everything.
It's a good point.
You see him returning punts. Wouldn't you maybe say to one of the coaches,
I could use that guy.
That guy would be pretty good. Yeah. And then hopefully that triggers a memory to one of the guys there that goes, well, actually, 2 years ago, he was pretty good. I'm sorry, what? Then you go watch those plays, and then you immediately throw him into some practices and see what happens.
It's a good point. So that I'll blame Van Pelt for that, and Van Pelt should have gone back and watched plays from offense from the last few years just to get a feel for all of his personnel. Mm-hmm. And when you're watching tape, you should be like, hey, what's 25 doing out there on the field? So absolutely all those things are on Van Pelt. I still blame Mayo the most. This text line is a good point, 37937. The key word is collaboration. That was the key word all offseason. We're breaking down silos.
They apparently are not doing that.
Keyword collaboration, yeah. Except
good communication in there.
They don't talk to each other.
No. You worry about your side of the ball, I'll worry about my side. But what if a guy can play both?
Meanwhile,
that's never happened in sports.
Meanwhile, DeMarcus Covington comes out today. We'll talk to him tomorrow.
Yep,
and he says, oh, yeah, Marcus Jones is like Travis Hunter. He did it in college, just like Travis Hunter did at the University of Houston.
All right. So
you knew that the whole time? Maybe pipe up about that. Maybe bring that up at a coach's meeting.
Wow.
Maybe bring that up at some point.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Nice football team again. Uh-huh. Patriots and Dolphins on Sunday. We should get to some of these Red Sox items, Keith.
Yeah, how about this?
Let me try to recap a couple of things for you real quick.
Right,
everything
please.
Flying around on the Red Sox. Ken Rosenthal says the Red Sox have met with Blake Snell and are talking to Corbin Burns and Max Fried. Why don't you put those three in order?
Corbin Burns, 1. Max Fried, 2. Blake Snell, 3.
Billy Lanny hates Blake. I didn't realize this.
Yeah,
Billy
he's
Lanny
not
hates,
a Blake Snell guy.
Hates Blake Snell.
Yep.
Really not a fan of Max Fried. He hasn't thrown 200 innings.
Yeah,
so, but I need a horse.
Yeah, you need a horse.
I understand.
So Burns would be the horse. Okay, fine.
There's not a lot of horses out there anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of ponies out
there. So they've met with Blake Snell. They're talking to Burns and Fried. So doesn't that kind of mean they're out on Burns and Fried and they're in on Snell? Isn't that kind of what that means?
Let me tell you right now, they're probably not getting any of these guys.
Okay, fair enough. Jim Bowden, what do you think of his work again, Keith? He's a good reporter, right?
I love Jim Bowden. It's the greatest Twitter got tricked by a fake account story of all time, where he shut down his whole account, changed his name to Ralph, put up a Twitter egg, tried to pretend like it wasn't him.
Tried to pretend like who had the report wasn't Jim Bowden.
And it was the dumbest thing ever. It was like, who was even the player that he took the cheese on?
Don't recall.
Honestly, it might have been like Marlon Byrd. It was like Marlon Byrd traded to the Pirates, which like somebody like for whatever, which I love Twitter for.
Yeah.
Somebody thought that that'd be a good fake tweet.
Yeah. It was like Ken Rosenthal, but the L was like a capital
Ken
one.
Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah. Like,
And then so he took it as his own. And then they're like, he didn't get traded to the Pirates. Yeah. And then he panicked and like shut down his account.
Deleted his whole account. Changed his name out of all the names.
Marlon Byrd to the Yankees for Carlos Guzman.
Wow.
What
recall that is.
Marlon Byrd. Marlon Tweety Byrd.
He changed to a Twitter egg and changed his name out of all the names you could pick to Ralph.
So no, whatever you're about to say, I don't believe any of this.
Okay,
he probably got it from somebody else.
Here's what he said: the Red Sox are serious players for Juan Soto.
Is that right?
Yeah, they appear to be serious players for Soto.
Serious players,
says Jim Bowden. They have one of the best farm systems in the game, and payroll flexibility going
forward.
What's
the farm system going to do with Soto?
Their meeting with Soto went well, and they sought to convince him the special talent in their system will allow them to spend, on free agents and trade acquisitions over the next several years. This honestly echoes some of what McAdam reported the other week.
Yep.
Soto was impressed with that aspect of their presentation, doubtful, according to a league source briefed on the meeting. So they are quote-unquote serious players for Juan Soto.
Well, I hereby suggest that we change the Red Sox offseason nickname from Interest Kings to Serious Players.
Serious Players.
Let's talk about them as serious players.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Do they get any good players? Probably not. But they are serious players.
Yeah, Drake meme. You referenced this the other day. Drake meme.
Interest Kings? No.
Nah.
Serious players?
Yeah, that's the
like
one.
That, very much.
Which tier is that?
Ooh. Yeah, good question.
It's not
Mike.
Frisky. I'm still shooketh. As a Red Sox fan,
you're
I am shooketh.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not Mayo grown, though.
No. I mean, they'll probably get a player or two.
And you're not dead body.
I don't think they're dead body.
Okay.
I don't think.
Okay.
But, give it a month.
All right, here's maybe the headliner out of all of them. Sam Kennedy says the Red Sox will be... Sam Kennedy, very trustworthy.
Yes, this should be... Take this to the bank.
Yeah. Unlike Jim Bowden.
Yeah, forget
this
Ralph.
This is like Keith, Scoops Keith level.
Yeah. What is
Sam Kennedy says it. You take that right to the bank. Sam Kennedy says the Red Sox will be operating with extreme urgency. That's another rival for...
Extreme urgency.
Yeah. Serious... What was it again? I already forgot it.
Who'd they sign today?
Seriously.
Let me just check it.
Extreme urgency.
Okay.
To win now.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that their payroll will be higher than last year.
There's a great vibe in the front office.
Dot, 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 even if it takes us over the CBT. So, oh, wow.
You're wrong. You're a liar.
Your payroll is going to be higher than last year in our face.
Yeah.
Even if it takes them over the CBT. And they're going to be serious players. There's extreme urgency to win now. He cited 90 to 95 games.
Hell yeah. We've missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, but now we're into it. Yeah. Now we care. Okay. The other businesses must be doing well if you think you're going to be able to spend a little bit extra money. I mean, let's wait till any of this happens. I don't believe a word of it. No. Last year at this time, they were full throttle.
Yep.
They full throttled themselves all the way into Lucas Giolito, I believe it was, and then he got hurt immediately. And even Lucas Giolito was a 2-year deal?
Mm-hmm.
Or a one-and-one?
Yeah.
For like $18 million bucks? That was full throttle.
It was full throttle.
So I love serious players. I love urgency. That's all great. Are they signing Juan Soto?
No.
Are they signing Corbin Burns?
Maybe. That's a maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a maybe.
I would love it. I would be glitter guns.
We asked this off the air.
Corbin Burns.
We asked this off. Well, we have extras. We asked this off the air. They're not going to sign Soto. I put a 10% on it.
Too high.
But it's not going to happen.
Too high.
And I don't think people really expect it to happen.
No.
But if they signed Corbin Burns, or they signed Bregman, or they signed Sasaki, or maybe even Max Fried, that might be going too low down the list. I think it's important that it's at the winter meetings.
That's urgency. Check that box.
Not in February like J.D. Martinez, not in March like Troy Tulowitzki, but at the winter meetings.
Trevor Story.
What did I say?
Doing that all day.
I have been calling Troy Tulowitzki all day. I'm sorry. Trevor Story is what I meant to say.
They could take Troy Tulowitzki now.
I love those Colorado shortstops.
Yeah, they're
random
nice.
Baseball player of the day, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Trevor Story. Nick's right. I've literally been doing that since 9 a.m. I've been calling Trevor Story that
too
all day.
Too low.
Showing urgency and making a signing at the winter meetings, I think fans would get excited about it. I think. Let's go to the phones here. Our good pal John in the car. What's up, John?
So what's going on? It's a pleasure to talk to you. Pleasure to listen to you. I don't get to chat with you, Jones, very much anymore.
I know.
But listening to this AVP stuff is absolutely hilarious. So it's like the latex salesman with Seinfeld. Like, on one hand, you want to take credit for the development. Like, Mayo, Monday morning, Mondays with Mayo, was hilarious. Like, oh, yeah, his development, it's going great. Why wouldn't you say we're doing a great job developing Drake May? And then they don't have a clue which way the wind is blowing or who's on the team and what positions they've played before.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have both be like, oh, we are so good at developing the greatest quarterback of all time, and then not have a clue on the wind or who's on your team. Like, you can't have both. You can't be great.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would say,
yeah, this is a mark against them.
If the Crafts had slowed down their calls, kicking the tires on Alex Van Pelt, I think maybe you start ratcheting up again. I think you start making a few more calls again.
Son of a. I thought we had it kind of figured out, guys.
Just when we thought we liked him.
Something like this slips through the cracks. How are we supposed to know this guy was good? I don't know. He was on the team.
I mean,
he did it with the team 2 years ago.
You coached against him in that season in 2022, although he didn't play in that exact game.
Mayo and Covington were defensive coaches on the staff that year and saw a defensive player go on offense and play well.
Are we making too much of this?
Not enough.
I don't think so either. I think if anything, we're not making enough out of that comment. That is a mind-boggling comment from an NFL coordinator.
Yeah. And, like, not a lot of defensive guys play offense, because I was trying to think of, you know, if this was the other way, if this was somebody else on another team, like, what would we be saying about them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Charles Woodson's played offense before?
Hang on.
Huh?
What?
Well, wait a minute.
Deion Sanders on offense?
I don't believe you. And you have to wait for the player. And he's probably being like, it's like, all right, I don't want to, like, overstep here. I don't want to overstep. He's like, all right, the season's kind of slipping away here. I mean, I probably should say something.
I do want to blame Marcus Jones a little bit for not texting.
I don't at all.
Maybe he did. Maybe he had a couple of times. And Alex Van Pelt was like, why is the Marcus Jones from Green Bay texting?
Like, man, this guy's losing
He's blowing up my phone. Yeah. 617-779-7937. Lottie waiting patiently on the Patriots and the Red Sox. Their offseason. We'll get back into that. We'll get to the Bruins as well. Their decision-making in net. It's going to be Korpisalo tonight, which I don't love. Keefe is a fan of. We can get back into that. Speaking of Keefe, it's Keefer Madness, an emergency.
Oh, yeah.
Keefer Madness next.
It's time for Keefer Madness.
Keefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Keefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Keefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Keefer Madness?
It's
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
His head's soaked. He's walking out the door, and there's pickle juice all over the floor.
I like it. What about you?
Why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
All right, here we go. Time now for the madness, an emergency madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got another creature feature for you, Jones.
It's all it is, really.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean. Although we had the vending pizza machine. That took a step away from creatures.
Yeah, robots. The great robot AI. Takeover, AI. Yeah, we got away from the creature. We got away from our bread and butter,
that's
as
true.
It were. Yeah.
This one, I'm proud to announce, we go up to the Granite State. Live free or die.
Nice.
The beautiful state of New Hampshire. Maybe not so beautiful of a story. And we get right into it. So this clip that we have, unfortunately, we don't have the great setup and banter from the news desk. They go right to the on-field correspondent.
Yeah.
So we're right into the action here. So hopefully everybody's sitting down and ready for this.
Well, Tom, staff here tell me this has just snowballed over the last few days. They say they do have the means to take care of all these mice and the ones still on their way, but...
That's right.
Mice on their way.
Mice on the way. Well, that can mean a whole number of different things.
Like a Pied Piper situation.
Yeah, but she's basically outside of like an animal shelter, and they now have a lot of mice on their hands. And they're like, all right, well, they're used to taking care of animals. This really shouldn't be
animal shelter.
That big of a deal.
They bring in animals.
What's
the problem here?
Yeah, you need animals to be looked after, taken care of. This is your place.
Yeah, no better place.
I don't think it would justify a news story, would it? Well, let's find out.
Bald over the last few days, they say they do have the means to take care of all these mice and the ones still on their way, but finding the space for them here has not been easy. The NHSPCA says this all started on Monday when a man came here saying he had about 150 pet mice in his home that he wanted to give up.
Too many. First of all, too many.
I would say that's over your mouse quota.
You have 150 mice, and just now you're like, I want to get rid of these.
Yeah, you know what?
You're in it too far. I think anything over one mouse.
Well, let me give you a theory.
One mouse, probably too many mice
still.
Yeah. But you have a pet mouse.
Let me give you a theory, though.
Hamster, gerbil, that kind of thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Because they do breed. Maybe you had a bit of a mouse problem, and then you got a little embarrassed, and you didn't want to say anything about it.
Was there a number in mind that you think is like, I got a problem?
Yeah, maybe like five, but I'm saying maybe,
five mice.
Maybe they have, they reproduce.
Oh, yeah.
Relations.
Like mice.
Next thing you know, you got 10. You're like, boy, this is embarrassing. Now it's 25. Now it's 50.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's exploded out of control. You don't want to tell anybody
Bunnies
about it.
Bunnies are obviously synonymous with rapid lovemaking and reproducing, but mice.
Yeah.
Not far behind. I was telling you guys a story about how a mice got into my wife's car
not once,
but twice.
Yeah.
Chewed up some wires. That was a nightmare.
I think that might have been like a mouse tryst.
Oh, you think that's where they go?
I was
like, hey, let's get away from the old ball and chain here.
Yeah, let's get a hotel room.
Hop into this car.
Yeah.
Possible.
Could have been what's going on.
So 150 mice. I feel like maybe, you know, somebody calls you and you already work in this field. So you're expecting a lot of different animals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody picks up the horn and they're like, hey, can't take care of these mice. I want to bring them in. They're like, how many do you got? 150. They're probably like, it's a lot of mice, but. Okay.
You're on the record saying 150, too many.
Too many.
Okay.
And I think even the NHCPA or whatever is probably thinking that's a lot.
Okay.
But we'll take it.
All right,
when a man came here saying he had about 150 pet mice in his home that he wanted to give up. Well, turns out it was actually 150 tanks.
Sorry, what?
Tanks?
Not mice. 150 tanks. First of all, how much does 150 tanks cost? How much space do you need?
It's a lot of mouse overhead.
I don't know how much money you're making off these mice. I don't think you don't milk them.
I don't want to know.
You're not eating them for meat.
It's like fight milk. It's crow milk.
It's crow
milk. Mouse milk.
It's crow milk.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I understand. I've seen Meet the Parents. I know you could milk a mouse. I'm just saying that people don't.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. There is a lot of overhead in the mouse game. I didn't realize that.
Oh, did I say 100?
Eating lamps.
Can you milk me?
Heating lamps. Tanks. Food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say 150 mice? I meant 150 tanks filled with mice. Sure, that's very different.
How big is a tank of mice?
I would think decent size. Like, you've ever been to, like, a pet store?
She said
like
a tank? Not a box.
No, a tank.
A tank of mice.
This guy must live in a mansion.
150 of... Well,
I don't think he does. Not to spoil the rest of the thing.
150 of those.
150 tanks. So you load them into what kind of car? You got to rent a U-Haul to bring them over to this place?
Guys, I got...
I have a few more trips.
I got 10 more trips.
Yeah. Here's five tanks. I'll be right back. I have a lot of trips.
And when staff went to the man's home to pick some up, they found hundreds of mice.
So
hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
I think it kind of goes a little north of that.
Yeah, I think that was a very
hard to get a real
number.
Well, yeah, it's also difficult to get a head count. You know, any given minute, that number could change.
Yeah.
These things do not mess around in there.
No.
At this point, they say they've taken in about 400 here and that it's possible they could see a total 1,000 mice from this one man.
This guy's responsible for bringing them 1,000 mice. That's insanity. That is insanity.
A lot of mice.
He's like, yeah, I got too many mice.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? You got too many mice?
They got like five or six.
Nah. And these are the ones he's given up. I bet he's hanging on to some. Guy can't part with all these mice.
No, there's a few.
There'd be a giant hole in his heart if he left these mice.
Pets for a while.
So many names.
Oh, well.
Mickey.
Does this news story get into that? I think they were running out of names.
Damon
Stoudemire.
Right, you kind of flip it on them. Yeah, you name the mouse Damon Stoudemire.
I think they were running out of names to name these things, but keep going, yeah.
Because they weren't separated by sex, they were reproducing uncontrollably.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Nice.
Go on.
Nice.
Anyway, they're generous lovers, these mice. Don't sound like it.
Is there a tank made just for that pot?
Yeah, I was like, my sophomore year in college, Jones? Co-ed dorms?
Because they weren't separated by sex, they were reproducing uncontrollably.
You lived on one of those floors. Northeastern had those, but I didn't live on. I was guys only floor, girls only floor, guys only floor.
No, but the dorm was co-ed.
Oh, the dorm. My dorm was co-ed. No, I'm saying.
My freshman year was just dudes. Sophomore year, I think it was by floor.
We were by
floor. Definitely co-ed.
But there were dorms at Northeastern that were like room by room. It was like on the same floor.
Nice. Yeah, there were.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shockingly, I didn't live in one of those. But yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because they weren't separated by sex, they were reproducing uncontrollably.
Uh-huh.
They were separated by looks, though. They had the attractive mice in
one
tank. Yeah, hot mice.
Hot mice.
Less hot mice, average mice, ugly.
Gargoyle mice.
Trash mice. It's gross. Who's going to reproduce with these mice, Mike? Just awful mice.
Just these. The mice over here playing Warcraft.
He ranked all the mice based on attractiveness.
Yeah, they're like, he didn't come in with a lot of information. He had a long document ranking them on their attractiveness.
Was Lemmy Winks a mouse?
No, he was a gerbil?
Or gerbil.
Gerbil?
Hamster.
Ooh, hamster. I think he was a hamster.
Okay.
We're going too far afield here.
And staff says the mice weren't living in the best conditions.
That's putting it mildly.
They weren't.
Oh, they weren't the Four Seasons at this guy's house?
Really interesting.
No.
Say the time and resources being spent on them is only growing.
All the carefresh, the bedding, the food, the water, the dishes. So
you do their dishes?
Mouse overhead. Yeah, I told you about this earlier.
You can't do their. They got to do their dishes.
Yeah.
Ratatouille, the rat chef, did his own dishes.
They cook everything for. That's a rat.
This just in. Lemmy Winks was a gerbil.
Thank you.
Gerbil.
Thank you.
Gerbil.
I don't have the greatest South Park recall, but thank you.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good pull.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Good pull.
That one stuck out to me.
These mice don't go where Lemmy Winks.
Yeah, well, that's why he's got so many. Need some backups.
Speaking of Hobart, we had one kid that we always called Lemmy Winks, and he did not like it. it was not a nickname he enjoyed.
Pulling things out, you're running out and doing errands, you're getting food, you're caring for them, you're concerned for those that are injured, and there are some that are injured. You know, there are
sprains. What do they got? Yeah. Like little aches and sprains, like a bad back. They're always complaining about their foot. This one's got gout.
The way they're reproducing, probably some neck pain,
some core pain, hip flexor.
Some of these mice.
A lot of neck, a lot of low back pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of sore necks on these mice.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's true. That's gonna be quite painful over time. Yeah,
it's not just cheese.
No, it's not.
No.
Babies that you're discovering or being born. We've had litters since they've been here.
And so about 100 of the mice have been transferred to other shelters all across New England at this point. Not all of them here are up for adoption because some are sick and others are on pregnancy watch. But
pregnancy watch?
Some have COVID. We can't get rid of those ones. We're gonna isolate those ones with COVID.
Jesus Christ.
Pregnancy tests haven't come back on all of them. We just at this point assume
some
all
are inconclusive. You know, you don't always get like a real clear plus and minus sometimes. Sometimes it's a little inconclusive.
Not to get political, some are choosing to keep or not at this point.
There's a lot of.
So it's up in the air.
If you are interested, staff here ask that you visit their website. We're live in Stratham tonight. Imani Fleming, WMUR News 9.
Hilarious is that was in Stratham, New Hampshire, which actually came up on the show.
That was the town that got referenced before.
Yeah,
the lint factory.
It brought up on the show.
That is what it was. It was the lint factory.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, it got brought up on the show.
Maybe that's why there's so many mice living there. They love the chocolate.
People got mad at me because I didn't realize where it was in the great state of New Hampshire. But there you go. There's your mouse story du jour.
Because they weren't separated by sex, they were reproducing uncontrollably.